This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Chinese Finance Ministry says it will cut tariffs on $75 billion worth of U.S. products. The cuts begin on February 14th, which is this Friday, and will include ag commodities such as soybeans, asparagus, pork, and more. However, a Wall Street Journal article says there likely won't be a big impact. An AgriPulse report says the move will cut tariff rate increases in half, somewhere between 5 and 10%, that China put into effect late last year in response to U.S. tariffs. The 30% Putinov tariff on soybeans will drop to 27.5% on February 14th, which will be seen largely as a goodwill gesture by China that won't have a big effect on trade between the two countries. The Phase 1 trade deal between China and the United States calls for increased Chinese purchases of American ag commodities, but neither side did away with tariffs that have been a staple of the trade war since it began. China points out that the next step in tariff reduction depends on how much progress the two countries make in their relationship. U.S. and government officials say they expect China to boost purchases by granting targeted exemptions to the tariffs currently in place. All recent Chinese soybean buys took place in spite of the Putinov tariffs in place and were due to the Chinese government giving targeted exemptions to importers. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says the U.S. will have to be tolerant if the fast-spreading coronavirus inhibits China's ability to increase purchases of American farm goods. China pledged in the Phase 1 trade agreement to buy at least an additional $12.5 billion worth of farm goods this year and at least $19.5 billion next year, and that's over the 2017 level by $24 billion. Commodity traders and economists have questioned China's ability to follow through on those commitments since the deal was signed. Now that the coronavirus is continuing to spread, it poses a threat to China's economic growth. If they were trying and the disease bows the economy out of the water, then we'll need to be understanding, Perdue told reporters during a cattle industry convention in Texas. Reuters says Perdue isn't part of the government's team that is responsible for enforcing the terms of the agreement. He also didn't say how the U.S. would need to adjust its expectations of China. The text of the agreement does contain a disaster clause, which Beijing has yet to formally invoke, which would allow for delays. China has reported that over 500 people have died from the coronavirus outbreak. That number now, I believe, is well over 800. It's time for farmers around the country to get signed up for crop insurance. Luke Conmee says the deadline to sign up is rapidly approaching.
The deadline is coming up for the multi-peril crop insurance. That hasn't changed, been that way for as long as I've been around. So corn, soybeans, spring-seeded alfalfa, stuff like that. Hail can be purchased other times, but yeah, we are coming up with a deadline for the main crops under multi-peril.
He says farmers can't afford to miss the deadline because there are no second chances.
Your policy has to be signed up. We don't need to know how many acres or anything. We just have to have the policy in place, the coverage by county, by March 15th. Actually, this year it will be the 16th because the 15th falls on a Sunday, I believe. So it will technically be the 16th this year, but there is no window afterwards. The 16th is the 16th, and then you have to make your policy election by then.
Conmee says about what producers will need to bring along to make crop insurance choices.
If they've never had crop insurance, if they can bring their last few years of production history, we need to build some history and build an APH. If they're with somebody else and they're just looking for a different service, if they can bring a copy of their current APH, we can pretty much do everything we need with that. That will get us set up and we can show them their options. There's a lot of options, actually. Believe it or not, there's 288 options that they could take just for multi-peril. So there's lots of things to go through. Obviously, we won't show them all, but there's lots of stuff to talk about. So that APH or that production history will get us started.
There are even crop insurance choices for crops besides corn, beans, and wheat.
That whole farm revenue protection, that is kind of the policy that encompasses all the miscellaneous. They call it miscellaneous. Maybe that's a bad term for it, but that encompasses all the different crops that can be grown. There are policies for apples depending on where you are, but whole farm is a policy that's been around for a while. It's more popular like the Pacific Northwest where they have those crops. But yeah, if you have a different type of operation, by all means come in and ask questions. It's more labor intensive. We will need more background information. You ask what you need to bring in. And the whole farm is based on tax info, actually. It's based on revenue of your last 5 years. So it would be more intensive.
Again, that was Luke Conmee, and he is the Wisconsin State Director for Insurance for Compeer Financial. Moving on into news from the USDA, they've announced that details of two programs that protect hemp producers' crops from natural disasters, a pilot hemp insurance program through the Multi-Peril Crop Insurance, provides coverage against yield loss because of insurable causes of loss for hemp grown for fiber, grain, or CBD oil. The non-insured crop disaster assistance program coverage protects against losses associated with low yields, destroyed crops, or prevented planting where no permanent federal crop insurance program is available. Producers can apply now, with the deadline to sign up for both programs set for March 16th. We are pleased to offer these coverages to hemp producers, says USDA Undersecretary for Crop Production and Conservation Bill Northey. Hemp offers a new economic opportunity for our farmers who are anxious for a way to protect their product in the event of a natural disaster. The pilot insurance program option for hemp producers is available in select counties in 21 states during the 2020 crop year. The non-insured option provides protection against loss for hemp grown for fiber, grain, and seed, or CBD oil for the 2020 crop year, where no permanent federal crop insurance program is available. Moving on to Western Ag News now here on your Monday. Three western Indiana counties hit by excessive rainfall last year have been declared primary natural disaster areas by the USDA. The federal agency's designation means agricultural producers in Fountain, Park, and Vermilion County, Indiana, who suffered losses caused by excessive rain that occurred after March 1st of last year, may be eligible for emergency loans that can be used to meet various recovery needs, including replacing essential items such as equipment or livestock. Producers in the contiguous counties in Indiana of Clay, Montgomery, Putnam, Tippecanoe, Vigo, and Warren, along with Edgar and Vermilion counties in Illinois, are eligible also to apply for emergency loans. Kansas lawmakers are considering a bill to restrict how producers of alternative meat could market their products in the state. The bill lists 22 meat-related terms that producers of alternative foods will not be able to use, such as jerky or burger, unless they label their products as imitation or add a phrase that the product does not contain real meat. The bill is being pushed by the Kansas livestock industry, which argues it would eliminate consumer confusion about which products contain real meat. Opponents say the proposal violates free speech rights of by restricting how plant-based beef and other alternative products can be marketed. Lawmakers had a hearing on the bill on Thursday. Moving on now to the local Ag Community Bulletin Board here on a Monday. The soil and water interactions will be the focus of a soil and water management seminar sponsored by the U of I Extension coming up on Thursday, February 20th. The seminar will be held at the Macoupin County Extension Office in Carlinville. The presentation will be delivered by PowerPoint and web conference from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on that Thursday. Certified crop advisors will receive 4.5 continuing education units in soil and water management by attending the seminar. Topics to be discussed include extreme weather and potential soil impacts that will be given by Trent Ford, the Illinois State climatologist, controlled CRP burn and soil quality that will be given by Dr. Sean Jenkins of Western Illinois University, irrigation water use reporting that will be given by Steve Wilson, the Illinois State Water Survey, in-field drainage management using soil control structures that will be given by Dr. Kapil Arora of Iowa State University, and field research in cover crops and soil quality given by Nathan Johanning, Illinois Extension Commercial Ag Educator. Registration for the Soil and Water Management Seminar is $45 and will include lunch. Registration deadline is this Friday, February 14th. Registration can be completed online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM or by calling the Carlinville Extension Office at 854-9604. For more information, you can email Ashley Bell, the Extension Educator and Environmental Energy Steward, at abelle, A-B-E-L-L-E, at illinois.edu. Coming up later on this month, Country Financial and the Illinois Farm Bureau and other organizations are going to be teaming up for agribusiness seminars, which offer dozens of talks throughout the state to better equip farmers and growers with the knowledge they need to make informed decisions for their operation. There's an upcoming event in the local area, and for additional scheduled seminars, you can visit countrycrop.com. The meeting in the local area will be held next Wednesday, February 19th. Registration will open at 5:50 that evening, and dinner is available for attendees at 6, and that will be held at Angelo's Restaurant in Taylorville. Guest speakers and topics include Doug Yoder, talking about crop insurance, Dr. Gary Schnittke of the U of I, talking about the Farm Bill, and Brad Klo, talking about crop claims and the updates with crop claims. You can contact the Extension Office, or excuse me, the Illinois Farm Bureau Office there in Christian County for more information. Also coming up later this month, the U of I Extension here in Montgomery County will be having a Starting Seeds Indoor workshop. Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger will present a variety of techniques for starting seeds indoors. The program will take place on Wednesday, February 26th, from 1:30 till 3 in the afternoon. The cost for the program is $5 per person and will include handouts. Pre-registration is due by February 25th, and you can do so by visiting extension.illinois.edu/CJMM or by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And that'll wrap up this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show, but if you have any ag news for us or anything for the Community Bulletin Board, those items can be emailed to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So for this Monday morning, February 10th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.